Red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Neon lights flicker, outlining a letter W. Wonderland. In a library, a blonde teen girl reads a Confederacy of Dunces. She looks up. Across the room, a teen boy reads the same book. She smirks toward him, then looks down.
Baby, don't make me spell it out for you.
He widens his eyes at the book.
All of the feelings that I got for you.
The boy notices the girl.
Can't be explained, but I can try for
Text
you.
Appears. Netflix presents a Wonderland Sound and Vision production. Their eyes meet. A title appears, Tall Girl. She glances away, then returns his gaze.
What's the big deal with this book, anyway? It's apparently all deep, but I have no idea what it's supposed to be about.
It's about alienation.
An alienation? What? What chapter is that
in? No, alienation. It's about Ignatius trying to find acceptance in a world that wants nothing to do with him.
Well, maybe he would find acceptance if he wasn't such a know-it-all.
I think his showing off his intelligence is just a way of protecting himself, which is kind of tragic because his alienation is the source of his strength, but then also...
But it's also the source of his problems.
I think you're starting to get it.
The teen boy looks down, then back at her.
I should probably go.
She shuts her book. He stands.
Hey, look, I know I've only known you for like 2 minutes, but... Would you maybe wanna...
The girl stands. She towers over him. He gapes.
Would I maybe wanna what?
The boy forces a smile.
Yeah. Never mind.
The boy backs away. The tall girl glances down.
You know that really, really, really tall girl that you go to school with? The one that people call LeBron. Skyscraper. Daddy long legs. Well, that's me. 16 years old, 6'1" and a half. Growing up, my height was of immense concern to my father.
Dr. Seeger, our daughter is 3 years old. She just reached 4 feet. It's not stopping. Can't we give her hormones? I read that diethylstilbestrol is very effective in stunting a child's growth.
Honey, I don't think it's good to take anything with that many consonants.
In some girls, diethylstilbestrol has successfully stunted growth. You know, in others, it's caused a host of health problems.
The mom gives the dad a look.
Infertility being one of them.
The dad turns to the young tall girl.
Honey, this may be too soon to talk about, but do you even want kids?
The young tall girl grins and nods. The dad grimaces. Now, a third grade class poses for a photo.
I continue to grow at a rapid pace, and guess what? Having back row center placement in all of your class photos isn't exactly a self-esteem booster.
She stands the tallest.
Now I'm just trying to get through the day with as few people as possible asking me,
"Well, how's the weather up there?"
Two sneering boys pass.
You think your life is hard? I'm a high school junior wearing size 13 Nikes. Men's size 13 Nikes. Beat that.
A girl with colorful braided hair wears gold-studded headphones. She dances her way down a stairwell. The girl with braided hair spins through a hallway. She crouches and moves forward to a beat. She dances by the tall girl's locker.
Farida, how much longer do I have to endure this?
Just trying to start my next class off on a high note.
Well, I start every class off on a high note.
Wow, mocking yourself right out of the gate. Usually the self-deprecation doesn't start until lunch.
How's the weather up there?
Hey, what'd you say to my best friend?
Farida, please.
Quick, you think you got jokes? Say some more funny stuff. Dazzle us.
I'm sorry, okay?
No, you're not. See, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm such good friends with the girl who constantly gets asked that idiotic question 10 times a day because every time she hears it, it chips away another little piece of her soul, which, in turn, chips away another little piece of my soul. So thank you, Soul Chipper. In fact, that's your new nickname, Soul Chipper.
The boy walks away.
Honestly, what would you do without me?
I shudder to think.
Well, stand up straight, walk tall. No, slouching!
Farida raises her fist and leaves. The tall girl slouches, then straightens. A curly-haired girl approaches.
How's the weather up there?
And we're back.
The tall girl shuts her locker. Later, in a pink bedroom, trophies and ribbons line shelves. A blonde young woman adjusts tiaras on display.
This is my super hot older sister, Harper. who's been winning beauty pageants since she was 6. She was spared the tall gene, but at least there is some balance in the genetic universe.
Harper snorts nasal spray.
She got Grandpa Larry's allergies.
Harper approaches her parents and the tall girl in a dining room. She poses in a gown.
What do you think of this one?
Let me see it with the wave. I don't know. I feel like the competition has got a lot more fierce since I was a contestant. So I think you need to step it up.
Harper smirks, lifts the skirt of her gown, and leaves. The dad takes a bite of his dinner and observes the tall girl.
So, Jody, how's it going?
Jody glances at her parents.
Fine.
You feeling okay? Like, no headaches, irregular heartbeats, or unexplainable
rash? Dad, I know that you live with this constant fear that I'm just gonna keep growing and growing until all of my vital organs explode, but really, if I was gonna have any major health problems, I think I would have had them by now.
No, Yao Defen's osteoporosis didn't show up till she was in college. She holds the record for the world's tallest woman. She died 2012, age 40. So tragic.
Okay, Mom, why do you know that?
And why would you bring it up at dinner?
I'm just making conversation.
About tall people dying young?
Yeah, well, I gotta say something. She hardly talks to us anymore. You just keep to yourself. I can't remember the last time that you sat down at the piano. Why don't you play anymore? Is it joint pain?
No. It's just because when you're good at something, other people tend to want to watch you do it, and I don't need to give people another reason to look at me.
You just have to be strong in the face of adversity. I mean, that's how I got through high school.
Mom, everyone loved you in high school.
Oh.
10 guys asked you to prom. I mean, what adversity did you face exactly?
Well, I was not popular with the girls in my class because I was so beautiful. I mean, I had to say no to 9 suitors. It was very stressful. It was a lot of pressure. It was like, no, no. Don't call again, no. Maybe flirt a little. Flirty, flirty, still no. No, no. No, no. Anyway, does that count as adversity?
No. It doesn't.
Harper enters in a white and silver gown.
Okay. Oh, I love it. That's the one.
But I have 27 more upstairs.
No. Don't even bother. It's perfect. You're perfect.
They smile.
That's really sweet, but I'm actually really far.
Harper covers her nose.
Oh, you want to wipe your hand. Don't touch your dress with that hand. Get a tissue, please.
Harper exits.
9?
Yes, 9.
There was only 40 people in our class.
Now, at Ruby Bridges High School, a teen boy swaggers into a science classroom.
This is Jack Dunkelman. And you may be asking, why is he carrying his books in a milk crate? Well, I've been friends with him for years, and that's still a mystery to me. What's even more of a mystery is why he's crazy about someone twice his size.
Good morning.
Hi.
So David Blaine called me? You'll never believe it. He just wants to know when you and I are gonna make magic together.
You do this every day, Dunkelman. It's never gonna happen.
I made you a smoothie.
He places a drink in front of Jody and raises his brows.
Okay, it would be weird. We've known each other for so long. And dating a guy who's shorter than me would just draw more attention to how much of a freak I am.
Wait, but half the guys in the school are shorter than you are.
Hence my conundrum.
Ho, 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 I would love nothing more than to answer your conundrum. All I'm saying is let your freak flag fly. Date a short guy, wear high heels, do something crazy.
They don't make heels in size 13 men's. Even if they did, I wouldn't wear them.
Look, I know I don't have everything on your perfect boyfriend checklist, okay? But, you know, I'd be willing to bet I'm clocking in around 70%.
She gives him a look.
Yeah, I mean, 60%. 50%?
It's a very specific checklist.
I just think it's crazy you won't go out with me just because what? You think that at any moment some taller than you, funny, intelligent, nice, perfect guy is just gonna walk through that door? I mean, it's crazy.
The door opens and a tall, stylish young man slowly enters. Sunlight reflects off of his shoulder-length hair. Jody stares, open-mouthed. Dunkelman gapes, then covers his mouth.
Okay, class, listen up. We have a foreign exchange student joining us today. He comes to us all the way from Sweden, and he's going to be with us the rest of the school year. So be nice, and please welcome Stig Molin.
Girls gaze at Stig.
Okay. The guy is decent looking. Yeah, that's, you know, that's obvious, but, you know, you don't know him. He's probably dumb as a...
Stig studies a complex chemistry formula written on the blackboard. He takes a piece of chalk and writes C10H20O, menthol.
What's he doing?
The teacher claps.
Okay. He's perfect, yeah.
Jody grins. The teacher gives Stig a high five. Later, Jody and Farida watch Stig open a locker across the hall.
He didn't even look at me, okay? It's the first time in my life that I've ever wanted someone to look at me, and he doesn't.
Because to him, you're not a tall girl.
I'm not?
Jody, the dude's from Sweden. It's an entire country filled with giants. To him, you're just another girl.
A brunette teen stands with her friend.
I'm going in. See you, check?
Oh, huge piece of broccoli.
Where?
The friend grins.
Liz, you're the worst.
Go get him.
The brunette teen leaves. Liz looks down.
Forever alone.
The brunette teen struts down the hall.
Kimmy Stitcher. Travel enthusiast, future real estate agent, or some other occupation that involves her face on a bench. And one of my OTs. Original tormentors since childhood.
Then, child Kimmy sits across a classroom table.
Look, guys, Jody's hand is so big, it doesn't even fit on the clay. We're gonna need more paint. Kimmy's funny!
Next, preteen Jody performs at Talent Day. Beside her, preteen Dunkelman raises a triangle.
And that's why I want to be just like Taylor Swift when I grow up.
Taylor Swift? More like Taller Swift.
Oh, that's a good one, Kimmy.
A boy high-fives preteen Kimmy. Farida gives them an angry look. Kimmy glowers at Farida. Later, in a locker room, girls wear shorts and t-shirts. Jody wears a sweatsuit.
Nice sweatpants, Sasquatch.
Jody raises her hood. Now, Kimmy leans beside Steak's locker.
Hey, new guy. I'm Kimmy.
Well, hi, Kimmy.
How you liking America so far?
Oh, I'm liking America very much so far.
Subtitles, Kimmy, and America likes you very much. Stig, you speak Swedish?
I speak a little Swedish. Picked up back in 2012 on a family vacay to Stockholm.
Oh, it's so beautiful there, right? Yeah, America's great, but I do know nothing about New Orleans.
Consider me your cultural ambassador.
Walk with me. Man, Kimmy works fast. I mean, the guy got out of customs, an hour ago, and she's already marking her territory.
Jody. Look, all right, I know you want to date some guy that's, like, taller than you and stuff, but if you think about it, there could be some major consequences, you know, it could backfire big time.
Okay, backfire how?
I am glad you asked. Let me paint you a word picture.
How long is this picture going to take?
Just let me do my thing. So, let's say that you and Stig date, okay? You fall in love, stick together through college, down the line you get married, have a baby, and the combined strength of your tall gene and his tall gene creates a zygote in your belly the size of an above-average-sized watermelon, okay? So that would mean that that puppy's coming out cesarean through the side door. Now, do you really want to go through the rest of your life with a big old scar on that beautiful torso of yours? Because, you know, that's what you're asking for.
He makes a valid point.
Jody frowns at Dunkelman and Farida. Later, outside the school, Dunkelman approaches a dark-haired woman in a parked car. The lowered passenger seat back rises, revealing a hidden Stig.
Surprise! Mom, what are you doing with the jumbo Swede?
Well, he's gonna be staying with us. We're his host family.
What?
Yeah, I wanted to introduce myself to you at school today, tell you the great news, but your mom wanted it to be a surprise, so... Surprise!
Stig and the mom high five.
Why? Mom, why would you do this?
Because! With all the chaos going on in the world today, it has never been a more vital time for humanity to open our doors to strangers from foreign lands.
Oh, Mom, the 60s are over, okay? And you weren't even in them. Oh, Stig, buddy, we're gonna have to ship you back, man.
This isn't a busted Xbox you bought on eBay. This is a human being. A human being who wants to experience what America is all about.
You know what, Mom? You know what? What better way for him to experience what America's all about than for us to just kick him out of it?
You get in the car!
Dunkelman bites his lip.
But I sip chocolate on him.
Now.
Dunkelman's mom touches Stieg's arm.
What should we listen to?
Next, Harper sits on her bed. She watches a video of herself at a pageant. Harper plays a glass harp and wears a sash with the text, Miss Spirit of New Orleans. A fashionable woman and a dark-haired man sit behind Harper. They exchange a content nod. In the bedroom, Jody sits beside Harper.
Wow, that is amazing. That is really some talent you have.
Man, do I look fat on camera. Okay, for the next 3 weeks, if you see me eating carbs, I need you to slap me across the face.
No, I'm not doing that. Okay, and since when did you start watching carbs?
Since Teen Miss Louisiana? I'm not taking any chances.
Okay, fine. But I need your help with something.
Sure, what's up?
Jody lies back on the bed.
How do I get a guy to notice me?
Oh my God. Okay, like, I've been waiting for this day to come my entire life, and I never thought it would, but I'm so glad it's finally
what
here!
What day is that?
The day that you finally come to your big sister and ask her about love? To finally embrace the sublime splendor that is a woman, and to stop dressing like a, no offense, very large little boy.
So are you gonna help me or not?
I'm going to extreme makeover the crap out of you.
Jody eyes Harper.
Okay. Who is he?
He is an exchange student from Sweden.
And oh my God, he is so cute.
What did you just say?
Harper stands.
He's an exchange student. Just, what's wrong?
Harper gapes.
Walk away.
Excuse me?
Just walk away and forget we ever had this conversation. That's from Jody. I said walk away, damn it! Wow, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was...
It's just, an exchange student, there's so many factors working against you. You know, new meat, high visibility, girls circling him like sharks on chum.
Harper gazes out a window.
You know, I snagged an exchange student once. Diego, Paraguayan, hairless, sweat smelled like cappuccino, light foam. All the girls wanted him. It was war. I felt like Custer at Battle of the Bulge.
Jody rolls her eyes.
Yeah, Custer wasn't at Battle of the Bulge.
Yes, he was. I'm learning about him right now in American history class.
Nunez Community College makes you take an American history class.
A requirement for the hotel management degree. The point is, if you want a guy to notice you, you'd have to be willing to go all the way. I don't think you're willing to go all the way. Do you think you're ready to go all the way?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Then you just answered your own question.
Harper leans toward Jody. Then a boat floats across the harbor. A streetcar moves beside a road. Painted signs advertise Falstaff Beer and Two Sisters Restaurant. Inside Dunkelman's home, Dunkelman groggily leaves his bedroom. He opens a bathroom door. Stieg brushes his teeth at the sink.
Ah, good morning, Donkers! See you at breakfast!
No, I don't wait for tomorrow. No, I won't give it a break.
At Ruby Bridges High School, a team of girls does a synchronized dance in a hallway. They wear matching RB shirts. A boy walks past and hangs a homecoming poster on a wall. In the cafeteria, Dunkelman carries a tray of food atop his crate. Stieg follows him.
Yeah, look, Mom, I feel like we could be friends if you just gave me a chance on this.
Look, you're a nice enough guy, but it's just not gonna work.
Donkers, man. Why not?
Because I can't be seen around you, and stop calling me Donkers.
Why can't you be seen with me?
You wanna know why?
Yeah.
You make me UBC.
Ook.
No, you ugly by comparison. Look, when I am not around you, I am a strong 6, weak 7. But when I am around you, I'm barely a 3, like barely.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know anybody at the school.
Trust me, you're gonna have no trouble making friends.
A table of girls ogles Stieg. Dunkelman leaves Stieg and sits with Jody and Farida. They gaze at Stieg, sitting alone across the cafeteria.
Guys, come on, he's not that attractive, is he?
Yes.
We'll try living with him.
Okay.
Across the room, Kimmy leaves the table. She struts towards Stieg, wearing a sultry expression.
Well, this is about to get interesting.
Kimmy sits at Stieg's table. Other girls join them.
like sharks to chum.
The girls giggle alongside Steve. Steve glances toward Jody and their eyes meet. Dunkelman frowns.
I'm going in.
Jody stands.
You are?
Jody stops.
No, of course I'm not going in.
She sits. Dunkelman pumps his fist. The girls at Steve's table elbow each other. Kimmy cocks her head. A red-headed girl scowls and leaves the table. Kimmy raises an eyebrow. A dark-haired girl rolls her eyes and leaves.
This is like watching a UFC cage match.
But with less body slams and more crop tops.
A brown-haired girl and Kimmy engage in a staring match. They sit on either side of Steve. He glances at them. Steve waves his hand between their locked eyes. He leans back. The two girls maintain eye contact. The brown-haired girl stands. Kimmy grins. Jody drops her head onto her folded arms.
Oh, 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 and we have a winner!
Farida scowls.
So, what's your next class?
I'm going to Spanish.
Kimmy, would you like me to walk you to class?
Let me guess. You picked up Spanish vacationing in Barcelona, right?
Yes, Barcelona.
Kimmy, let's go.
Okay.
Steve follows Kimmy out. Across the room, Farida places a hand on Jody's shoulder, then leaves. Later, Farida and Jody sit in a bakery.
It's been over a week, and she hasn't left his side. Every time I see him, they're together. They eat lunch together, they go to PE together, they walk home from school together every day. I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Sounds like it's mostly just eating and scrolling. Could be a lot worse.
In an art class, Kimmy and Stieg lean over a potter's wheel. She rubs his hand as they shape a clay bowl. Across the room, Jody stares at them.
This is worse.
At the bakery.
You know, it's like I've been in love with this girl since elementary school, and this new guy just steps in and blows up my 7-year plan. Like, that's not cool. And he's gonna end up with Kimmy, and Jody's gonna spend the rest of her life pining away for the one guy that's taller than her, and where does that leave me?
Sometimes I wonder what it'd be like to go to lunch with my friends and have them ask me about my problems.
Oh, and furthermore.
In the art class, Dunkelman stares at Jody while she watches Kimmy and Stieg. Behind all of them, Liz gazes at Dunkelman.
Hey, I've been looking at your painting the past couple weeks, and you got skills. Little Pollock, a little Monet, touch of Rembrandt.
Are you just naming artists you know?
Da Vinci, Picasso, Matisse? Am I that obvious?
Well, I like what you're doing with Van Gogh there.
Oh, well, look who's the artist dropper now.
Dunkelman grins. Jody bends a piece of paper and glances toward Stieg. Later, Harper looks at her reflection in a metal knife. She hurls the knife at a photo of a pageant girl on a target. She misses. Jody approaches.
What's she doing?
Harper grabs another knife.
Playing Pachelbel's cannon on wine glasses may have been enough to win Team Miss New Orleans.
The knife hits the target and falls.
But if I want to win Team Miss Louisiana, I gotta step up my game.
She throws a third knife. It lands over the eye in the pageant girl photo.
Cool. So, I'm ready to go all the way.
Harper turns to Jody.
Then let's get to work.
Jody nods. Harper raises a new knife. It slips from her hands.
Jesus, Harper! You almost killed me! Hey, bro, do you want this or not?
Jody nods. Then, Jody, Harper, and her mom visit a makeup store.
Lipstick.
Lady Danger.
Too vampy.
Cream cup.
Not vampy enough.
Speak louder.
Not vampy enough.
No. That's just the name of this one. Speak louder.
My bad.
Now in a dressing room.
I look like Grandma's couch.
Or a beautiful mermaid princess. Okay, no. Harper, no.
At a counter.
Oh, that one.
187 dual brush.
Goat fiber.
Did you have to bring mom along?
Fixing me was a two-person job.
You were awesome on Good Morning New Orleans. Focus! Okay.
In the dressing room, Jody wears a strapless dress.
Now we're talking! You look great!
Thank you, Mom, but it's just, it's not me.
Okay.
Then at a hair salon.
I would like to see some layers around her face to accentuate that fabulous bone structure. Maybe an inch or two off in the back, but leave the length, followed by some honey blonde lowlights all around. Jody, what do you think?
So you're telling me that a lip gloss and a lip glass are interchangeable?
Stop stressing, little sister.
Tomorrow we're gonna bring that little Swedish boy to his knees.
Not so sure about that.
Jody! Listen to me, okay? If I had that kind of attitude, I don't think I ever would have gotten that job with the Hilton Corporation.
You have an unpaid internship at the Residence Inn.
In the dressing room, Jody grins. She wears a high-collared top.
Now this is me.
You look stunning.
Their eyes glisten. Jody gives a nod. Later, at Jody's home, Jody stands in front of a full-length mirror. She holds a sweater over her midsection and considers her look. Jody moves across her room.
Hello?
Hi, may I speak with Jody, please?
Yeah, this is Jody.
Hi, my name's Teague. I'm the new exchange student in your school.
Jody beams.
Hello?
Hi. How may I help you?
Well, I don't know many people at school, and you seem like a really nice person. I was hoping if you didn't have a date yet, you'd want to go with me to the homecoming dance.
Yeah, sure. I mean, going out with you would be, you know, splendiferous. Now that's a word you don't hear nearly enough of. So I'm guessing that Dunkelman gave you my number?
No, I just looked it up in the phone book under Big Ugly Giraffe.
Jody's smile falls.
Schnipper.
Schnipper and Kimmy sit on bleachers.
Gotcha.
Okay, what the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, don't be so best supporting actress. I saw the way you're looking at Stieg in art class.
Your jaw was practically on the floor. So, Schnipper and I just thought we'd have a little fun.
What up?
Besides, you really don't think a guy as hot as Stieg would be into you, do you?
I mean, let's face it, Jody, you're the tall girl. You'll never be the pretty girl.
Jody's eyes shine. Kimmy lowers the phone.
Yeah, well.
Jody hangs her head. She straightens and covers her eyes. Downstairs, her dad waits by a fireplace mantel.
What is taking so long?
Honey, relax. There's a whole outfit. There's makeup. There's hair. It's a process.
Jody's family gathers in a sitting room. Jody descends the steps in a sweater and pants.
Wow!
She ignores them, grabs a backpack, and leaves. Harper and her mom exchange a look. Her dad squints.
She looks exactly the same, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, Dunkelman and Stieg wear bike riding attire. Dunkelman wobbles on his bicycle. Stieg rides smoothly beside him. A mural shows Harriet Tubman. A park's arched entrance reads, Armstrong. Stieg coasts down a street. Dunkelman follows him awkwardly. He gives Stieg a thumbs up. Next, Dunkelman and Stieg ascend a staircase in the high school.
What up, Stieg?
I'm a watch Stieg. Right on.
You became real popular real fast.
Hey,
Stieg. Oh, hi, Sheila.
Okay, like really, really fast. Jeez, it's 1 week and everyone knows your name?
Yeah,
And you're dating Kimmy.
Right? I still don't get why everyone wants to be friends with me.
Why a girl as pretty as Kimmy would want to date me.
What are you talking about, man? Well, look at me.
Stieg stops. Dunkelman shrugs.
Yeah?
I'm a dork.
What do you mean?
It's kind of embarrassing, but in my high school back home, there's all these super good-looking, super popular, tall guys. You know?
Stieg shakes his head.
I'm not one of them.
I'm sorry. What you're telling me is that in your home country, this is ugly?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Nah, that can't be right.
Why?
But it's just, you know, if that's true, then that makes you the me of Sweden.
Yeah?
Man, that's trippy.
But if I'm the you of Sweden, then, I mean, who am I here?
Well, who's the most popular good-looking guy at your school? The guy that all the girls want to date and, you know, everyone wants to be friends with?
Ingvar Kruger.
That's you here. You're Ingvar Kruger.
Stieg furrows his brow.
I'm Ingvar Kruger.
He beams.
I'm Ingvar Kruger, Dunkers!
Yeah, man, yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. Man, I'd be screwed in Sweden, huh?
Yeah, but it's all right.
Now, Jody hunches in a bathroom stall and reads a book.
Out. Now.
Excuse me, I'm reading.
You're hiding.
I don't want to run into Kimmy.
She prank called you, Jody. So what?
Easy for you to say. Okay, nothing rattles you.
Plenty of stuff rattles me. I just roll with it.
Well, this is how I roll.
Jody looks at Farida's clothes.
I like your outfit, by the way. Might be one of your best designs.
Don't change the subject.
Jody turns to her book.
Okay, Gulliver, let's see what trouble you get into next.
She closes the stall door on Farida.
One day, Jody, one day when you get picked on and made fun of, you're not gonna hide in a bathroom stall. You're gonna stand up and say, this is me. I love all 73 inches of myself, and there's nothing you can do that will change that. That is my wish for you. I just hope I'm there to see it. You're not seriously flushing the toilet to avoid having this conversation.
Farida rolls her eyes. She stomps away. Later, Jody exits the bathroom and glances around the hallway. Schnipper enters the hallway, his eyes focused on his phone. Jody strides in the opposite direction. She spots Kimmy and Liz coming from the other end of the hall. Jody leans against the wall and enters a nearby doorway.
Did you want to use the piano?
Stieg sits at a grand piano.
I just had a few minutes before my next class, so I'm just in here messing around a bit.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I suck.
Stieg glances at sheet music and plays. Jody cocks her head. Stieg presses his lips together. Jody edges toward him, clasping her hands.
Relax your hands.
He grins.
Sorry, what?
You're just trying so hard at the right notes that your fingers are tensing up, so just relax your hands.
All right, relax.
Stieg shakes out his hands.
All right.
He brushes his palms together. Stieg flexes his fingers and places them on the keys. Jody moves her fingers along to his playing. She raises her brows as he hits the notes.
That's bad.
It's better.
Yeah. Wow, thank you. You should play something now.
Oh, no. I don't really play much anymore.
Come on. I mean, I have a feeling that you're probably better at this than I am.
Yeah, I'm okay. But only because these.
One of her hands grips the other.
Your hands? Yeah, I would hope that you use your hands to play the piano.
No, I mean, that's why there are more male classical pianists than female. You know, bigger hands, they move faster, cover more ground. So, lucky me.
Could I see them?
Stieg holds up his hand. Jody places her palm on his. The length of their hands matches.
Yeah, you've got big hands. So you probably could play this tonight.
Stieg hands Jody sheet music.
Skies and Dolls is my favorite musical.
Me too. It's a classic.
Really? You like musicals? Oh my God. You should have seen me in Sweden. I was in Cats.
Oh my God, me too.
No. Wait, you really?
Her grin fades.
No. No, I don't know why I said that, actually.
But you should play this with me. Come on. Here.
Stieg pats the empty space beside him. Jody sits on the bench and places the sheet music on the stand above the keys. Stieg turns the page. Jody straightens her posture.
Relax your hands.
I got that one. Thanks.
She looks at the keys, then the sheet music. They gaze at each other.
I've never been in love before. I thought my heart was safe. I thought I knew the score.
Jody smiles.
But this is wine that's all too straight and strong. I'm full of foolish song, and now my song must pour. So please forgive this helpless haze I'm in. I've really never been.
They beam. Kimmy steps toward them.
Fantastique. Oh,
Kimmy, hi.
Been looking all over for you. I thought we were walking to class together.
Yeah, I was just having a little impromptu concert here with,
Jody.
Jody, it's nice to formally meet you. I'm Stieg. And, this is my girlfriend, Kimmy.
Girlfriend? Yeah, girlfriend. Girlfriend. Had the talk last night, made it a fish. Stiggy baby, would you mind getting Mama a diet slice before class?
Yeah, sure.
Stieg and Jody stand. Kimmy smiles at Stieg.
See ya, Jody.
He exits. Kimmy sizes Jody up.
What are you playing at, Beanstalk?
What are you talking about?
You're moving in on my man.
No, I'm not.
Oh, so it's just a coincidence that the two of you happen to be here together?
Yeah.
Stay away from him.
I will.
Stieg and I will be homecoming king and queen.
I don't doubt it.
Stop agreeing with everything I'm saying.
Okay.
Kimmy storms out. Jody shakes her head. Her lips stretch into a grin. Later, she enters her home. Jody wanders into her foyer with raised eyebrows. Tall men and women in blue side caps mill about. They hold drinks. Her dad puts down a drink. He approaches Jody.
Hey.
Dad, what is going on?
What do you mean?
I mean, why is our house filled with a bunch of ridiculously tall people? Who are they?
Oh, just some friends that I invited over for a little get-together.
Okay, well, why are all your friends wearing hats that say tip-toppers?
Well, that's because they are not only a group of friends, but they're also, you know, like a group.
You mean a club?
No, not a club. Clubs are lame. Ugh.
Crystal Spitz, chairman of the Tip Toppers, 7 years running, and it's about to be 8 unless Bob Brickman over there beats me in the next election.
Would you want, Bob?
Oh, we'll see, Crystal.
Club members gape. Crystal beams at Jody and her dad.
Anyhow, your parents were so kind to open up their home for us for our weekly chapter meeting.
Chapter meeting for what?
For our tall club.
Jody stares stoically, then nods.
Tall club that the Tip Toppers is a tall club.
Tall Club International has over 200 chapters in the U.S. alone. The Tip Toppers are the third largest. Although, with our newest member bringing the tally to 24, we are now officially tied for second!
Crystal puts a Tip Toppers hat on Jody. Jody's parents smile.
Tip Toppers, I think you need to sing your theme song.
No, Tip Toppers.
Oh, beautiful for massive feet, for clothes that never fit right, for being so gigantic.
Jody removes the hat and leaves.
On every flight.
Then her dad stands outside Jody's room.
Jody, come on, don't be mad at me. Look, I thought it would be nice hanging out with other tall people. And then you can see that they're perfectly okay being tall.
A tall woman.
Being tall sucks. Seriously. I only come to these meetings for, like, the free food and the guys. Bathroom's this way, right?
She bumps her head on the top of a doorway.
Jody, I just want you to feel normal.
Don't you realize that every time you try to make me feel more normal, you just end up making me feel like more of a freak?
Jody's dad compresses his lips and walks away. In her room, Jody types on her laptop.
Height reduction surgery.
She scrolls through search results.
Okay, let's see.
Jody views a message board.
Cost $150,000. But I know a guy in India who will do it for cheap. Very long recovery time, extremely painful. But when I learned to walk again, it was worth it. Why couldn't I have just been normal?
Text on Jody's phone reads, unknown caller. She raises it to her ear.
Hello?
Hi, Jody. This is Steve from school.
You know what, Snipper?
You really chose the wrong day to mess with me, okay? The next time I see you, I'm gonna take my size 13 Nikes and I'm gonna kick you in the nards hard, okay? Do you understand me? My big feet plus your tiny little nards equals pain.
Jody freezes. Her jaw trembles and her eyelids flutter.
And this really is Stieg, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stieg smiles.
I'm really sorry.
I thought that you were someone else.
Oh, it's okay. I hope I'm not bothering you. I just wanted to know if maybe you wanted to come over tonight and watch a musical with me.
She grins and mouths, "Oh my God." Stieg furrows his brow and looks at his phone.
Jody?
Jody's empty chair spins. A streetcar moves along tracks. Then, Dunkelman answers his front door. He removes headphones and a virtual reality headset. His jaw drops. Jody faces him, wearing makeup and a denim shirt.
Hi.
She smiles, then shrugs.
How's it going?
Man, who's at the door? Dunkelman, not now. He lowers his headset mic.
Sorry. Just my battle royale partner, Shoshi from Okinawa. But hey, hi.
I look ridiculous, don't I? I'm gonna go.
What? No. You don't look ridiculous. You look... you look amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just shocked. You look a little overdressed for a study night.
Stieg enters.
Jody, hey. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Wow. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for inviting me.
Please come in.
Jody shuffles past Dunkelman.
Bye, Don.
Dunkelman bites his lip. Man, that was painful. Dunkelman, who asked you? He closes his front door.
Why do they think up stories that link my name with yours?
Jody and Stieg sit on a couch in a blue living room. They share a smile and face the TV. Stieg's arm rests beside Jody's shoulder. Dunkelman enters the room and stands in front of the TV.
Oh, you guys watching this?
Stieg nods.
Yeah.
Jody sighs. Dunkelman points with a grin and steps away. His hands slap his sides and he exits. Stieg shakes his head, and Jody does the same. In the kitchen, Dunkelman grabs a bag of chips from atop a refrigerator. He re-enters the living room. Dunkelman crosses in front of the TV and bounces the bag between his hands. He drops some chips and waves them off.
I'm so silly. Salsa. Forgot. Be right back, guys.
He heads into the kitchen. Jody shakes her head and crosses her arms. Stieg shifts in his seat.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
Dunkelman peruses the inside of the refrigerator.
I see a lot of ingredients here that I could use for a nice little smoothie.
He holds food items and kicks the refrigerator door closed.
Fruits and such. Hit the gym today, so I'll throw some protein powder in there. That's always good. Get those gains.
Jody frowns toward the kitchen.
Doesn't seem to want to leave us alone.
Up here is that way.
Yeah.
Dunkelman operates a blender.
Do you think maybe I should just ask if you know?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Hey, Dunkers! Yeah!
Dunkelman peeks out of the kitchen.
Yeah, pal? Do you want to watch the movie with us?
Jody gapes.
Well, no, I don't want to. Eh, okay. That's such a great idea!
Dunkelman squeezes between Jody and Stieg.
All right, cozy time. That's good.
It's super cozy.
Stieg's arm rests around Dunkelman's shoulder. Dunkelman smiles at Jody. She glares ahead with crossed arms. Later, a streetcar moves along tracks. Jody and Stieg sit on opposing benches.
Sorry.
They struggle to move their knees out of each other's way.
But if I just like...
She lifts her legs over and around Stieg's head. Deeg stands and adjusts the back of his bench so it faces the same direction as hers.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's better.
He sits beside Jody.
So, where's your girlfriend tonight?
Deeg shrugs.
Some party.
Jody gives a nod.
Probably. Mine's on. They're my only friends I'd want to watch a musical with me, so.
Yeah. Right. She's so pretty. Kimmy.
But she can be so insecure sometimes, you know?
Insecure?
Yeah. I've just saw us together in the music room. She just kept saying, like, oh, was it really coincidence that you two were together? Do you think she's prettier than me?
Okay, Kimmy Stitcher is not insecure about anything or anyone, especially not me.
I mean, why wouldn't she be?
Because there's nothing to be insecure about. I mean, Kimmy's... she's perfect. I'm... this.
Are you serious? Being tall is great.
Being a tall guy is great, but... when you're a tall girl, it's the only thing that people see.
It's not the only thing I see.
What do you see?
I don't know. It's not a tall girl. Just a girl. Really smart, fun, unique, and beautiful girl.
Jody leans towards Deeg. They kiss. She pulls away.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
He leans in and kisses her. Deeg pulls back. Jody narrows her eyes and smiles. She bites her lower lip. Deeg faces forward. Next, Jody enters her darkened foyer. A figure waits on the stairwell.
Good evening, sir.
Harper stands there in a tight red gown and tiara.
What are you wearing?
Allie McKinney, Miss Teen Florida 1993, states in her autobiography, The Crowning Achievement, that the key to a perfect-fitting dress is to buy one that is 3 sizes too small and to wear it 2 hours a day, 1 week before the event, to fit it to your exact body size.
Can you even breathe in that thing?
Just forget about whether or not I... forget about whether or not I can breathe.
Harper struggles down to the landing.
What happened with the Swede?
We just watched a movie.
Okay, yeah.
And then he invited Dunkelman to watch it with us. Oh. And then, he called me his friend. And then I kissed him.
Harper blinks. She follows Jody to the kitchen entryway.
After all that, you kissed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are you?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't planning on kissing another girl's boyfriend. I mean, even if that girl is Kimmy, but that's not me. I mean, I'm not the other woman. I mean, I'm barely a woman.
The situation is getting very ugly very fast.
By a window, Harper grabs a snack.
Why do you always have to gaze out the window when you're talking to me?
We're in uncharted territory now. I mean, if Kimmy ever found out about this...
Is that an English muffin?
Harper meets Jody's gaze.
No. It's not an English muffin.
Jody raises her hand. She slaps Harper.
Did you just slap me?
You told me to slap you if I ever saw you eating carbs.
I did, but I didn't expect you to actually do it. What if you left like a permanent mark?
Okay, stop talking about yourself and tell me how to undo what I just did.
You can't undo it. You kissed him and he kissed you back, which means, girlfriend or not, you've got a shot at this. You are forging ahead. You are in the game, just like General Custer.
General Custer, not who you think he is.
Harper gives a skeptical look. Now, in Dunkelman's darkened bedroom, Deeg lies on the bottom bunk, and Dunkelman lies on the top.
Hey, Dunkers, are you awake?
What? Yeah. Yeah, man, what's up?
I have to confess something. I cheated on Kimmy tonight. With Jody, and she kissed me, and I kissed her back, and I didn't pull away.
Dunkelman covers his face with a pillow.
Am I a horrible person?
No, man. No, people
These things happen. People have minor lapses in judgment.
He wrinkles his brow and presses his lips together.
How was it?
Stieg props himself up on his elbows.
It was different than when I kissed Kimmy. It was really good, Dunkers. It was intense and passionate, and I could feel her heart beating. And that's enough. You can stop now.
Dunkelman presses his palms against his eyes.
So what should I do?
Dunkelman rubs his face.
You know, man, look, well...
Dunkelman lowers himself onto Stieg's bed.
You're already in a relationship, you know? I think you should probably just focus on, you know, nurturing, caring for, and continuing that relationship.
Right, but Dunkers, what if I like Yodi more than I like Kimmy?
Dunkelman winces and covers his mouth.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
Dunkelman smiles with a wrinkled brow.
Look, man, Jody's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, she smells like a late August midday sun shower, and she's got skin like sweet, buttery whipped cream. But you, my friend, are dating the hottest, most popular, most sought-after girl in the whole school. So, you know, if you keep that up, you're in line to be homecoming king. That's a, you know, we don't take that lightly around here. Soon enough, you'll be back in Sweden, and you know, you'll be living my life again. Right? So you should take advantage of the moment, man. This is your chance to be Ingvar Kruger.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could still be friends with Yodi, right? Really? No?
I just think you might be... That might lead her on. You know? And it's probably best for you to cut things off. It's cold turkey. You know, it's the American.
Stieg scratches his scalp and considers.
All right. I'm glad I have you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate your honesty. That means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Stieg offers his hand.
You kiss Stieg?
Could you keep your voice down?
Am I shouting?
Yes.
Sorry, but it's a big deal. Your first kiss. So how was it? Give me the deets.
Jody raises her brows.
Pretty perfect. I mean, other than the fact that he's dating someone else, but am I a terrible person?
No, you're not. She is. She doesn't deserve him. You do. And I gotta say, I like new Jody.
New Jody.
Face your fears, Jody. Going after what you want, Jody. Look at me, because I look good, Jody. It's about time you start following your own advice.
And when did I ever give that advice?
To me. When you convinced me to stand up to my parents and tell them I wanted to go to fashion school instead of becoming a doctor.
Ah, right. Do you think they're ever gonna forgive me about that?
Oh, no. You're dead to them.
Kimmy squints.
What's that girl trying to prove? What, she think a little makeup and a new haircut's gonna make her less ugly?
Schnipper sits by Kimmy. He gawks at Jody.
Do you think she's less ugly?
No. She's like, you know, the same amount of ugly, right?
You're lying.
Huh? All right, yeah. I mean, look at her. Look at her. She's so confident and feeling herself, and she's like an independent woman with golden locks. She looks kind of hot.
Kimmy bugs out her eyes.
Look, you better watch your back.
Kimmy, she should watch hers. Jody sits up straight.
Here he comes.
Stieg carries a tray of food. He glances at Jody, then averts his gaze. Stieg continues towards Kimmy's table. Farida looks from Jody to Stieg.
What happened to you last night? You didn't respond to any of my text messages.
Yeah, that was funny, actually. I left my phone on off. It's silent, I mean. No, I think it might be broken.
Liz sits with them, wide-eyed. Stieg spots Dunkelman.
Oh, Dunkers, man! We got the spot.
No, that's fine. I'm just gonna...
No, you're coming over here. Come on.
Dunkelman walks away from Jody's table. Jody and Farida watch him go.
Okay.
This is my roommate. It's Dunkers.
Yeah, well, my name's Dunkelman, but... And I feel like I'm more of a landlord than a roommate, so...
Landlord? You're so funny. He's very funny. He does these impressions of people.
What, impressions?
I don't do the chef one with Gordon Ramsay's.
Yeah,
I don't do it.
Rah, let's see it.
Yeah, so
Gordon Ramsay.
He's like, you've been braising that turkey for 15 minutes. Where's the lamb sauce?
Liz smiles wide.
No, do it. Oh, come on, here. What's this?
Oh, the sushi?
Yeah, please.
Hey, oh, but my nan could make better sushi than this, and she's blind.
Oh, no, do
you don't know?
Oh, just, I actually love the sandwich. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you?
I don't know.
An idiot sandwich.
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart.
Sure, yeah.
In Sweden, they're crazy about this guy.
All right. You know Kevin, how he does that. Totally.
That's not a Matthew McConaughey thing. Kevin did it first, actually.
You know, walking like this, and he's like...
What am I watching?
Unclear.
Outside the school, Dunkelman holds a snack. Liz approaches him.
You're not really gonna eat Glutios, are you? They taste like sawdust.
Well, I can't have gluten, and so, you know, kids got a snack.
How about try one of these?
She takes out a paper bag.
You're gluten-free?
Since 2012, baby.
Dunkelman pulls a cookie out of the bag and takes a bite. He considers the cookie and wrinkles his brow.
Okay, no, that is not gluten-free.
Who makes these?
Girls Gone Vegan on Chestnut Street. I'll take you.
Where have you been my whole life? I was talking to the cookie.
Cookie, yeah. Okay. Keep it.
Liz walks away. Dunkelman presses his lips into a smile.
So, what, am I not cool enough for you to sit and have lunch with anymore?
No, I was just, Steve asked me to sit by him for lunch, and I didn't want to be rude.
Dunkelman shrugs.
Did he say anything to you about me recently?
Like what?
I don't know. He just avoided me all day today, and I thought we had a fun night last night.
Dunkelman mounts his bike.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Excuse me?
What? Nothing.
He rides off.
He did say something. What did he say?
I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm talking to you.
Jody chases him.
What did he tell you?
She walks beside him.
Look, he said you guys kissed, okay?
He what?
You're going after a taken man, Jody. You know, there's plenty of other guys out there available.
Just tell
ones.
Me what he said.
He said he didn't know who he liked more, you or Kimmy.
He said that, then what did you say?
I nearly implied that, you know, maybe he's focused on the relationship he's already in with Kimmy.
Oh, so you're looking out for Kimmy now. I thought you were supposed to be my friend.
I am your friend.
But if you can't have me, nobody can. Is that the idea?
Jody, don't flatter yourself. I actually have a date with Liz to go to a gluten-free bakery.
Start at the beginning of no great love story ever.
You know, you may find this hard to believe, but I care about you. And I just want to make sure that you don't get hurt.
Dunkelman rides into a parked car. He flips over its rear and lands on pavement. Then, Stieg opens Dunkelman's front door.
What's happened to you?
Biking's for losers.
He goes in.
Hey, can I talk to you?
Yeah, sure. Come in.
Jody enters. She and Stieg stand in the foyer.
So, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry that I kissed you last night.
Oh, that's okay.
No, it's not. I mean, you have a girlfriend and I basically threw myself at you, which is probably why you blew me off today.
I just didn't know what to say, honestly.
No, you don't have to say anything. You know, in fact, feel free to just keep blowing me off.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you don't, then I'm just gonna get my hopes up about happy endings that only happen in movies with actresses that are under 6 feet.
I'd still like to be friends, Jody, at least.
Right, yeah, friends like, let's just forget that we kissed and move on like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, we could do that, right?
Right, yeah, totally.
Oh great.
Right?
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, great, awesome.
They inch toward each other.
High five.
Stieg raises his hand.
Higher five.
Jody lifts hers higher. Then, a tugboat floats. Two streetcars pass each other. Road signs mark the corner of St. Anne and Decatur Streets. A high school marching band strides by teens on the sidewalk. Jody and Farida stand nearby.
Okay, so then how did this end?
Other than a few scratches, he's fine, but we're not on speaking terms at the moment.
Is this your first fight ever?
I think so. He didn't even start the day off with one of his cheesy pickup lines.
Farida grits her teeth.
So what are you gonna do about Stieg? Nothing. He made his choice.
You don't need him. There'll be more.
Yeah, well, me not getting the guy was always how it was supposed to end.
The band marches down the street.
Forget about them. Let's go dance.
Farida dances.
Jody, get in here.
Pass.
Not dancing to your high school marching band before homecoming is bad juju.
I'll risk it.
Farida throws up her hands and spins. She follows the band away. Farida waves her arms and shifts her weight from one side to the other. Students dance behind the band. Jody glances across the street. On a front porch, Dunkelman and Liz smile together. They exit the porch, leaving Stieg, Kimmy, and Schnipper behind. Dunkelman lifts Liz over his shoulder and follows the marching band.
Hey, Jody. We need to talk.
Kimmy comes up behind Jody.
About what? About a guy. It's come to my attention, is very into you.
Look, I did not mean for anything.
Schnipper!
Jody gives Kimmy a wary look.
Schnipper.
Schnipper gestures at Jody.
He takes your new look. We're all going to the escape room on Friday, and you should come.
Okay, I'm not falling for another one of your tricks.
It's not a trick. He told me to come over and invite you.
And why should I believe you?
Because I know I haven't always been the nicest to you, but consider this my way of making it up to you. Ciao.
Kimmy saunters away, and Jody knits her brow. Dunkelman and Liz dance in the street. Farida goes to Jody.
What did that biatch want? She just invited me to hang out Friday night.
Why?
Because apparently Schnipper likes me.
They're messing with you again.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But she sounded kind of genuine.
Oh, you're dreaming.
Is it really that hard to believe that Schnipper would like me?
Yes. All the guy does is make fun of you. And even if it were true, why would you want to go out with Schnipper?
Maybe if Stieg saw that I moved on, he would realize that he made a mistake.
Okay, but we have tickets to Tank and the Bangas on Friday.
And I'm sure you can find someone else to go with.
Wow, so now you're flaking on me?
Why are you giving me such a hard time about this?
Why are you acting so crazy over a guy who you just admitted 2 minutes ago was never going to happen? Do you really need validation that badly?
You know, if you're not gonna have my back, I would really just prefer you keep your opinions to yourself.
Farida pushes out her lips and nods.
Don't worry, I will.
She storms away. Jody stands alone beside dancing teens. Dunkelman follows the band, carrying Liz over his shoulder. Next, Liz, Dunkelman, Kimmy, Stieg, Jody, and Schnipper enter a stately home marked Maison Voodoo. Old photos hang on a wood-paneled wall. A man in a top hat approaches them.
Welcome to Maison Voodoo.
Dunkelman turns down the corners of his lips.
It was there where me and my entire clan were murdered. Just last night. Now you have exactly 1 hour.
To hunt for clues, find the killer, meet the same fate, blah, blah, blah. It's not our first rodeo. Can you just let us in?
The man's shoulders sink.
Whatever. I get paid either way. Wait right there.
The man heads upstairs. Kimmy takes a seat.
So, where's the homecoming hangout this year?
Schnipper offers a seat to Jody. Dunkelman sits near Kimmy. He glances around the room. The others shift their gazes.
My mom's going out of town on a yoga retreat that weekend, so I guess I could have a little get-together at mine.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Party at Dunkelman's!
No, get-together.
Party!
Get-together!
Party, get party, together. Party, party!
Get-together. I said get-together. You guys heard me, right?
Party.
Hello?
Dunkelman answers a phone on an end table.
What? Okay. All right. First clue's in the parlor upstairs.
Stieg, come on!
Jody and Dunkelman follow the group.
So, since when do you throw parties or get-togethers?
Well, I'm hanging out with a pretty popular crew now, so it's sort of expected of me.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you.
The group ascends a staircase and enters a parlor room. Liz searches under objects on a platter. Schnipper shows Stieg and Jody a slip of paper. Jody feels around dolls in a glass case. She unrolls a piece of paper and shows it to Stieg. Text on the paper reads, "Brainstorm." Jody finds a key inside an umbrella. Dunkelman looks under a lampshade. Liz pulls a piece of paper out of an open light bulb. Kimmy tilts a book on a mantle. A heavy wooden door opens. The group moves through the doorway and enters a sitting room.
Guys, I'm tired.
Kimmy sits.
Let's take a break. We only have 12 minutes left. Plenty of time to escape. Let's move this whole room to ourselves. Might as well take advantage of it.
She pulls Stieg onto the couch. Liz sits on an opposing couch with Dunkelman. Jody and Schnipper settle on a third couch. Stieg sneaks a glance at Jody. Jody nods at Schnipper.
Hey.
He smiles. Jody looks at Stieg. Kimmy and Stieg kiss. Schnipper puts his arm behind Jody. Liz kisses Dunkelman. Jody grins politely and kisses Schnipper. Stieg peeks toward Jody. She pulls away from Schnipper and looks at Stieg. Kimmy opens her eyes. Kimmy and Stieg resume kissing. Jody turns back to Schnipper. Dunkelman glances at Jody as he kisses Liz.
Okay, I can't do this.
Why not? You guys make such a cute couple.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Jody stands. Schnipper shifts in his seat. In an adjoining room, Jody opens a tall door. She faces a brick wall.
Not the way out.
She moves to the next door over. Jody tugs at the doorknob.
Neither is that.
Well, if you're gonna go, go.
I'm trying.
On a new day, Farida walks through the high school hallway. She nears Jody, standing at her locker. Farida raises her headphones over her ears and strides past. Jody frowns, then smiles at a handwritten note addressed to her. In the music room, Stieg stands by the piano. Jody enters and Stieg beams.
Thanks for meeting me.
Sure. What was so important? We needed to meet in private.
Well, you know that whole plan that we had about always forgets we kissed.
Yeah.
I hate that plan. It's a really terrible plan that we made. I mean, it means I have to see you kissing Schnipper.
Never gonna happen again. I honestly just did that to make you jealous.
Oh, well, that's worse.
Genius on my part, then.
Look, Jody, I'll end it with Kimmy, if it means I can be with you. I was thinking I would do it tonight, and maybe we could meet up after.
I can't. Tonight, it's my sister's pageant.
Right.
I mean, unless you want to be my plus one.
Like a date?
Yeah, like a date.
He lowers his gaze.
I'd love to.
He cocks an eyebrow.
And then we can go to Dunker's party together. But on one condition. You be my date for homecoming.
Later, Jody sits with Harper.
So, Stieg is coming with you tonight, and he asked you to homecoming?
That's right.
Okay, and this is all possible because he's breaking up with Kimmy to be with you?
Which I feel bad about, but yeah, he is.
Harper flutters her eyelashes and nods.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. It was just, I don't know. It was nice when you needed me for something. We'll probably just go back to you never needing me for anything again.
What do you mean?
Well, up until last month, you've never really needed my help for anything.
Well, I wanted to, you know, talk to you about stuff, but...
Why didn't you?
I don't know, just because you were just busy with all your pageants, and I just figured that you weren't interested.
You mean more to me than any stupid crown.
Then I guess I will come to you about stuff, then.
Their eyes glisten.
Okay.
They share a grin.
Okay. I mean, who else would I talk to? You're my big sister.
You're my big little sister.
Harper beams.
That's me.
Jody's eyes twinkle. Then, attendees in semi-casual attire enter McGinty Hall. Signs for Teen Miss Louisiana stand by the entrance. Jody and her parents sit inside an auditorium. An empty seat rests beside Jody.
So, where is he?
Late, obviously.
But he's definitely coming.
Yes, he's coming.
Okay, sorry. We're just so excited to meet him.
Okay, please don't embarrass me.
Never.
Yeah.
Jody's dad leans just out of Jody's earshot.
I'm so going to embarrass her.
Me too.
Jody stares. Her parents put on serious expressions.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Teen Miss Louisiana contestant.
Under a Teen Miss Louisiana banner, a young woman wearing a toy soldier-styled dance uniform approaches center stage. She grabs one foot and raises it vertically above her head. She does a back handspring, then a backflip. Judges watch, open-mouthed. Jody checks her cell phone. Her parents glance at her. another contestant pulls a seemingly endless colorful fabric out of a top hat. A third contestant holds a microphone. An audience member grimaces. The contestant lowers the mic. Jody gazes down. Harper crosses the stage wearing the white and silver gown. She waves. In the audience, Jody's mom rubs Jody's shoulder. Jody shrugs, and her mom removes her hand. On stage, a host blindfolds Harper. Under the spotlight, Harper raises a knife, winds up, and throws it at a target across the stage. Bullseye. She throws another bullseye, and another. Her family grins. Harper blows a kiss and walks away, still wearing the blindfold. She brushes against the back curtain and exits. Jody types a text. The pageant started 30 minutes ago. Where are you?
Ms. Harper Kramer, everyone!
On stage, Harper wears a gold and silver gown. She stands in front of other contestants holding a microphone.
I guess the one way that I would work to make the world a better place is by using my hotel management skills, which...
Harper notices the empty seat beside Jody. She mouths, "What?" Jody gives Harper an encouraging nod to continue. Harper regains her composure.
Which is all about meeting and exceeding guest expectations. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could meet and exceed guest expectations?
Her mother mouths along to the rest of the speech.
In the ongoing Middle East conflict.
Harper lowers her microphone and turns up her palm. A judge nods in approval.
Thank you so much.
Jody smiles. A man in the audience pumps his fist. Then, the family drives home in an SUV. Flowers rest around Jody. Harper glances at Jody, then looks forward.
In your face, Miss Teen Shreveport!
Their mom winces and wipes her brow. Their dad grips the steering wheel tightly.
I'm gonna kill that kid when I see him.
Don't talk like that.
I'm serious. I'm gonna run over to Steve with the car.
Okay, then you'll go to jail.
Yeah, well, then I'll do my time like a man because no one stands up my daughter. You hear me? No one stands up my daughter!
What's the wrong?
The dad swerves the SUV into a new lane. He smacks the dashboard.
Nobody!
Now, teens mingle outside Dunkelman's house. Inside, a DJ operates a turntable and teens dance. Jody enters the house. She edges past the partiers with her hands in her pockets. A boy and a girl dance by a drum set. Jody surveys the crowded living room, then enters the kitchen. She spies Dunkelman and Liz dancing in the next room.
Jody.
Steve enters the kitchen.
Oh, Jody, I'm sorry. Can I explain, please?
Please, yeah, explain.
I had to help Dunkers this party all day. And then people started showing up early and, I don't know, it got crazy. And honestly, I lost track of time. I'm sorry.
Okay, so did you talk to Kimmy?
I was going to. I was. But then she kept getting pulled into conversations and I wanted like a quiet moment to do it, you know?
Steve, I just... Quick selfie, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Does
nice.
It work?
Nice. Yes.
Love you, bro. All right. Yeah, you too, man.
Steve looks at Jody. His grin fades.
What?
You're not breaking up with Kimmy. You never were.
Jody, why would you say that?
Because you like being the popular guy. Much more than you like me.
No. Oh, Jody. Hey, come on. Come back.
Steve, over here, man. Yeah, check this out.
Jody exits, and Stieg goes in the opposite direction. Kimmy eyes Stieg as he leaves.
Do you have a date yet?
I do not.
Do you want to go with me?
I do, yeah.
Dunkelman looks down at his hands.
And I don't. I do and I don't.
I'm confused. I thought you liked me.
I do. I'm just, sort of in love with somebody else.
I know.
What?
Yeah, I see the way that you look at Jody. So why aren't you guys together?
I don't know. I guess I'm just not her type.
So you're gonna spend the rest of your life waiting until you are her type?
If that's what it takes, then yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I know you must hate me.
I'm bummed, but I don't hate you.
Liz offers him a slight smile.
Your art, though, that I hate. I hate that.
She grabs his hands. He doubles over. Then Jody enters her home and runs upstairs. Her dad sits on a couch across from the front door. He gazes toward the staircase. He turns and shuts off the television. Jody's dad rises. He moves toward the steps, then stops and rests his hands on his hips. A framed photo of Jody hugging Harper stands on a shelf outside Jody's room. Text on her bedroom door reads, "No entry." Jody's dad approaches and leans his ear by the door. He raises his knuckles.
Jody, you okay? Don't worry, I'm not gonna say anything or do anything to upset you. I just, want to tell you I love you.
He shifts his weight.
And,
he brings a finger to his lips.
I'm here if you need me, okay?
Jody's dad cranes his neck closer to the door. He blinks and compresses his lips. Jody's dad straightens and steps away. Downstairs, he walks toward the couch, then leans against an adjacent piano. His thumb rubs against the edge of the instrument. Jody's dad sits on the piano bench. He gazes at the keys. Jody descends the steps. She sits beside him and brushes her hair behind her ear. Jody looks at the keys. Her hand plays alongside his. He glances at Jody. The corner of his lip turns slightly upward. She leans her head on his shoulder. Jody's mom leans in a nearby doorway. She watches them play and smiles. Now, on a new day, Mardi Gras beads hang from the bare branches of a tree. Jody lies in her bed. Dunkelman sneaks in carrying a gift box. A bruise surrounds his eye. He sets the box on her dresser. Beside it, Dunkelman notices a framed photo of himself and Jody in costumes.
The gnome and the sunflower. Classic.
He grins, then approaches Jody. Jody sleeps on her side. Dunkelman sits on the edge of her bed. He brushes the hair over her ear.
Ah!
Jody hits Dunkelman.
Oh my god! What are you doing here?
Harper said I could come in.
Okay, yeah, come in. Not touch Jody's hair while she's trying to sleep.
Since when do you know karate, though?
My mom. She made me take self-defense classes a few years ago when that serial killer was on the loose. Okay, what are you doing here?
I...
And what happened to your eye?
last night took a crazy turn, and I took a spill, but I'm fine.
Does it hurt?
Not so much. But my mom asked me the exact same thing when she came home a day early from her retreat, and then grounded me for wrecking the house. So, no more homecoming for me.
Jody shrugs.
Sorry.
You have nothing to apologize for. I haven't been the best friend recently. And, I am sorry.
She shakes her head and scrunches her lips to one side.
But I got you a present.
Jody smirks.
Hopefully.
Dunkelman grabs the gift box.
Try and make up for it. So I'm not going to say anything else. Just open it.
Okay.
He hands her the box.
Well, I like the box.
Dunkelman sits beside her.
Open it.
Jody lifts the lid. Sparkly silver platform heels lie inside. She raises her eyebrows.
High heels.
Mm-hmm. They're from a specialty drag queen store called Scream Queens. It's this great place. And they gave me a little gift card, so if I come in like 9 more times, I get a free pair.
They're beautiful.
Thank you.
But I'm never gonna wear them.
Okay. Just keep them. Just in case.
Why?
I am glad you asked that, actually. Let me paint you a picture.
Please, don't really.
No, stick with me. We're 3 years in the future. You are at some nice college in the Midwest, Northwestern, maybe Notre Dame. And you meet some taller than you, nice guy. And he really likes you because of how kind you are. And he likes how you sit up front with your Uber drivers because you don't want them to be lonely. And how you hate raisins but love Raisin Bran, which doesn't make any sense to me, but again, maybe he likes it. And he asks you out on a date and you want to wear your heels, and then you try and go out and buy some and you can't get any because there's a snowstorm outside, so you think back to this moment and you go, damn, I should have kept those heels that Dunkelman gave me just in case.
Dunkelman turns down the corners of his lips, then gives a half smile. Jody nods. She gazes at the heels.
It wouldn't work out with the guy. It wouldn't, yeah. But you'd look amazing, so.
She beams.
Thank you.
They lock eyes. Now, clouds pass over a low-hanging sun. At night, Jody lies on her bed and reads. She lowers the book and gazes toward her ceiling. Above her bed, a sheet covers white string lights. Jody grabs her phone and sits up. She reads a message. Hey Jody, it's Liz. Thought you should see this. In a video from the party, Liz faces forward.
Wanted to document it just as a reminder in case you ever think about throwing a party.
Stieg.
Across the party.
What were you and Jody talking about in the kitchen earlier? Seems kind of important.
Stieg glances at Kimmy and Schnipper. Partiers watch them.
I messed with her. Yeah, Kimmy, I messed with her and she was pissed at me.
What'd you do?
So she came over here the other day and she was saying that the reason that she left the escape room was because she couldn't stand to see me with somebody else. So basically just saying that she's secretly in love with me.
What? Confessing love? Dude, that's like totally lame. Like, I'm definitely not in love with Jody.
Right, so anyways, I couldn't get her to leave, so
just to get her off my back, I said, yeah, I'll meet up with you tonight. We can talk more about it. But I totally stood her up.
Jody's lips part.
Survives, bro.
Hey.
Dunkelman swings his crate. Stieg dodges. Dunkelman drops the crate. Jody rewinds the footage.
He survives, bro.
Hey.
Dunkelman swings. He misses Stieg.
$5. What's your problem,
man? You are, man. You are. When I met you, you were genuinely a super nice guy, man, but you've turned into such a jerk.
And look, you're talking trash about Jody to all these people in public.
But when we're in private, man, you're confessing your love for her to me. The crazy thing is you don't even know a thing about her, man. What's her birthday, huh? What's her middle name? What's her favorite color? What color are her eyes, man?
Green.
No, they're not. They're blue. I mean, Jody has so much to offer. She's the best person that I know.
I bet you didn't even know. She's reading the list of 100 best books before she turns 21. Did you know that?
And that's what's so funny, is you think you're so much cooler than her, but you're not. You guys, none of you guys are. You think she is so much cooler than all you guys combined.
Yeah, well, she's also taller than all of us combined.
Dunkelman laughs, then punches Schnipper. Schnipper hits back. Dunkelman rushes at Schnipper. They fall. They crush a coffee table. Jody looks up from her bed, her eyes well with tears. She purses her lips and leaves her bed.
I don't know what to say to you to get it through your head.
Jody stands in front of a full-length mirror. She rests her arms at her sides. Her blonde hair hangs over her shoulders. Jody pulls her long sweatshirt sleeves down over her hands. She bites her lip and gazes at her reflection. Jody raises her chin and looks to her right.
Standing tall for a lifetime. You got more to give.
She crosses to the gift box on her dresser. Jody sits on the bed, holding the box on her lap. Next, Schnipper and two teen boys wear suits and pose for photos. Kimmy blow dries her hair and flips it side to side. Liz sits alone in a limo and dances. She takes a selfie. In Dunkelman's room, Stieg fastens a bow tie and cufflinks. He wears a white tux. In a crowded space, Farida moves in a black top with pink fringe. A chaperone sniffs a cup of punch. Kimmy and Stieg dance. A young man shimmies. A young woman spins. A short-haired man in a suit stands on the stage.
All right, room and bridges high. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. The announcement of your homecoming king and queen. And to read the names, please help me welcome to the stage Ruby Bridges alum and recently crowned Teen Miss Louisiana, Harper Kramer.
Harper wears a pink gown, a sash, and a tiara. She strides to the mic and waves.
Thank you, students. Hello. And Principal Preston, may I just say, you look fantastic. Have you lost weight or something?
What is it? We'll talk later.
And now, without further ado, your homecoming king and queen.
The principal hands Harper an envelope. She mouths, thank you.
And the winner is...
A piece of paper reads, Kimmy Stitcher and Stieg Mullen.
You sure?
The principal tilts his head.
We're sure.
Kimmy Stitcher and Stieg Mullen.
Kimmy drops her jaw and holds her hand over her chest. Harper leaves the mic and scowls. Stieg offers his arm to Kimmy. The couple stands on stage.
Thank you so much.
A young man and woman put crowns on Kimmy and Stieg. Harper dodges Kimmy's hug.
God, everyone, thank you so much. Oh, no. Baby, Stieg, baby, we did it.
She gives Stieg a side hug. Later, a DJ works a turntable. Farida grooves on the dance floor. Stieg sways with Kimmy. He stoically surveys the room.
What's wrong?
I can't do this anymore.
Do what?
Stieg steps back.
This?
He removes his crown and looks into her eyes.
Wordis.
Kimmy bats her lashes.
Why not?
His eyes glisten.
Because I made a mistake. Because being Ingvar Kruger wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be.
Wasn't Ingvar Kruger?
Doesn't matter.
This is because you like Jody, isn't it?
Stieg gives a nod.
Can you just explain to me, because I don't understand, what do you see in her?
The silver platform heels stroll onto the dance floor. Jody glances around the room. She wears makeup, silver dangle earrings, and the high-collared top. Attendees turn toward Jody. Stieg smiles and lowers his eyes. Jody's shoulders rise and fall. She strides across the dance floor in a blue pantsuit. Jody passes Stieg. She stands taller than him in her silver heels. The glammed-out Jody climbs the steps onto the stage. Harper covers her mouth. Jody wobbles a bit up the steps and steadies herself with a smile. She approaches the microphone.
Can I have everyone's attention, please? Hi, I am Jody. You may know me as Amazon or Godzilla or Jody the Green Giant or any of those other insults that you've called me in the past years. You know what, I get it. I'm tall, really, really tall, and it's the thing that's haunted me my entire life. It's defined me. But I think it's time that I come up with a new definition.
Harper takes the mic.
And I would like to
Harper,
say one thing.
My moment.
One thing.
Not yours.
Not mine.
Okay.
Not
yours.
Harper steps away.
I'm so much more than just a tall girl. I'm a sister.
Harper smirks.
I'm a best friend.
Farida beams.
Mostly a good one, sometimes a bad one. I'm sorry.
Farida shrugs.
I'm smart. I'm fun. And I've made mistakes. I've kissed a guy who I knew had a girlfriend.
What?
Stieg hangs his head.
And I'm sorry. That was wrong. And I play piano. And I'm really, really good at it. Being tall actually is what makes me me. And I like me.
And you should like you. We are all good enough. And once we realize this, no one can take it away.
So go ahead and keep making fun of me. Keep calling me names. Keep asking me how's the weather up there. Because I can take it.
Jody nods.
Because the weather up here, it's pretty great.
Liz smiles. Schnipper's eyes shine. Other students grin. Kimmy crosses her arms.
Yeah, Jody!
Farida stands. Students beam. Harper claps and mouths, so good. Jody leaves the stage and joins the applauding students. She approaches Farida.
Was that how you imagined it?
Even better.
They embrace.
I have to go.
They share a knowing glance. Farida gazes after her with glistening eyes. Jody walks through the crowd and gives a student a high five. Stieg leaves Kimmy and edges toward Jody. Kimmy glances across the dance floor. Then, Jody strides through a hallway.
Jody, wait!
He stops her under an arch of blue balloons.
Oh, Jody, I'm so sorry. Look, I'm so sorry for everything.
Thank
your
you.
Speech was beautiful.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. I broke it off with Kimmy. Finally. Look, is there any chance that we can start over? Please.
Jody considers Stieg and shakes her head.
I'd love to start over.
Stieg moves toward Jody.
But just not with you.
Stieg meets her gaze, then looks down. Jody licks her lip and turns away. She steps toward the exit. Stieg watches her go. The noise got too loud with everyone around me saying, "You should be so happy now." Later, Jody approaches Dunkelman's front porch. She holds her heels and ascends the steps. Dunkelman sits atop the porch with his crate between his legs. Jody beams. Dunkelman sets the crate aside and stands facing her.
Hey.
Hey.
She sets her heels down.
Why didn't you tell me the real reason you got that black eye?
It didn't seem important.
Okay, but you like defended my honor and you took a punch for me.
Yeah, well, I guess I did that.
Mm.
Dunkelman smirks. Jody looks into his eyes.
What?
Nothing. I'm just making some mental revisions to my perfect boyfriend checklist.
Well, did I make it over 50%?
Way over.
She nods. He bites his lip.
But you know, the only major sticking point is the milk crate. I really don't get why you don't just put your stuff in a backpack like a normal person.
Well, because I knew the day would come where I would need it, and I wanted to be ready.
Ready for what?
Dunkelman sets the milk crate on the porch between them. He steps on top of the crate and looks down at Jody. She smiles.
For this.
Dunkelman leans in and they kiss.
Short handles on rollaway suitcases, my feet hanging off every bed I've ever slept in, having to sit sideways on airplanes. We've all got something about ourselves we wish we could change, but it's completely out of our control. The only thing that we can control is how we deal with it. And the way I see it, we have two choices. We can lay low, or we can stand tall.
Above Dunkelman's house, stars glow in the night sky. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Richie Pepio. Voiced by Liz Gutman. Credits. Directed by Nzinga Stewart. Written by Sam Wolfson. Produced by McGee, Mary Viola, Corey Marsh. Executive producers, Jenny Hinkey, Stephen Bellow. Director of photography, Eric Edwards. Production designer, Bill Bowes. Edited by Priscilla Ned Friendly, ACE. Costume designer, Helen Wong. Starring Ava Michelle, Griffin Gluck, Sabrina Carpenter, Paris Burrells, Luke Eisner, Clara Wilsey, Angelica Washington, Rico Paris, with Angela Kinsey and Steve Zahn. Casting by Barbara McCarthy. Music by Matteo Messina. Music supervisor Tracy McKnight. Co-producers Max King, Sam Wolfson. The teens dance at homecoming. Jody, Kimmy, Liz, Farida, and Harper bounce in a circle. Dunkelman rides on Stieg's back, and Stieg rides on Schnipper's back. Teens pump their fists and groove along to music. Jody and Liz spin. Harper points to the beat. Kimmy and Liz hold hands. Two young women dance together. A long-haired girl pops her hips. A blonde boy and a girl with tied back hair bob from side to side. Dunkelman snaps. Stieg and Kimmy hold each other close and move in a circle. Jody and Harper step in sync. Jody, Kimmy, Harper, Schnipper, Liz, Stieg, and Dunkelman spin around Farida. Jody quickly pirouettes in place. Two boys link legs and hop in a circle. A curly-haired boy pops and locks. A young lady crouches and bounces. Schnipper does a handstand flip. The teens jump together and raise their hands. They crowd together and move to music. I got an idea that I wanna share. You don't like it, so what? I don't care. I'm number one, the uno, I like pump. Bring all the suckers, cause all of them I'll stomp. Won't neglect, but I will protect. All of my followers, cause all I want is respect. I'm not a boxer, but the man who rocks her. A slick brother that can easy outfox her. Cause I'm Bob, the last name Bass, yes. And over mic, I'm known to be the freshest. So let's
too hard. I'm not a sucker, so I don't need a bodyguard. I won't fess, wear bulletproof vests. Don't smoke Buddha, can't stand sex, yes. I've got the bases in. I'm kind of stingy, that's why I don't want to win. A funky rhyme to a foe or a good friend. Now listen up, cause I want you to comprehend. Cause I'm the leader, the man, superior. I take curia and then you get worrier. So just sit, my rather not counterfeit. The record sells, which makes this one a hit. It won't hurt to listen to Red Alert. Take off the shirt, make sure it don't hit the dirt. I like the kids, the guys, the girls. I want the junkies, this is raw bass world. I'm on a mission, you better just listen to my rhymes, cause I'm all about dissing, cause
copyright 2019 Netflix US LLC. All rights reserved.
The red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.